Our Father, we bow before you this morning with a grateful heart. Lord, we're thankful for who you are and what you do, what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do in our lives. Lord, we come to you this morning as the song that we just sang says, have your way in us, this service. And have your way in me. Have your way in the heart of every person in this room. Lord, maybe there's someone who came to church with a cold heart this morning. They haven't thought much about you and your word, what the service may hold. But God, you can warm that heart. And I pray that you will. And I pray that you will draw us close to you. And Lord, I know sometimes that depends upon us. Because you said, draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you. And so Lord, the best we can right now in these moments, we draw close to you, nigh to you. We want help. We want you to build us and strengthen us. And Lord, if need be, step on our toes. Whatever we need this morning. May your word minister to our hearts through your spirit. Exactly what we need. I pray you will have your way in this service, in this message, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 141. Psalm 141. Find that scripture. I'm going to read the first two verses and jump right into the message. We will not stand like we usually do, but I've enjoyed this singing this morning. You sound like you've enjoyed the singing this morning, and that's good. That's good for us. Amen. Good for our hearts. Psalm 141. I want you to notice here what David said, verse 1 and 2. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, I want to draw your attention to verse number 2 where David said, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And speak for just a little bit on the subject, our prayer as incense. Our prayer as incense. And I was thinking this week, there are a couple of times a week that I really enjoy in the ministry here of Faith Baptist Church. Those times I'm referring to are on Sunday evening at 5:45, on the Wednesday morning about 7:35, 7:40, and on Wednesday evening about 7:20. Now, those three times are times when several people either gather here in the auditorium or the staff gathers upstairs, and we kneel together or we sit together, we lift our voices in prayer together before a holy and loving God. And, you know, when I am praying over here with Scott on Sunday nights or praying with some other man or young man on Wednesday night, when I'm praying with the staff on Wednesday morning, if I'm in town instead of coming back from preaching somewhere, and they still meet without me, prayer is made every Wednesday morning. That prayer meeting was started in 2009 when the economy fell apart and a bunch of people here needed to get some help with their work. And we've added other things to that. But we still pray for the people who have work issues in the church. And while I'm praying there with Scott or a partner here on Wednesday night or one of the staff men upstairs, I am listening to them make requests, but I am also hearing the quiet murmur of voices that represents many people saying many prayers to God at that particular moment in time. Now, I have private prayer, you have private prayer, we have public prayer. Any kind of praying is good praying, okay? My thought this morning is this, we want our praying to be beneficial. We want it to amount to some good, whether it's privately praying at home solely as an individual or publicly praying together with a group of people, we want it to be beneficial. Now, David is the human pen of this psalm. I sound a little loud to myself. Is it loud out there today? Is it okay? Is it all right? Okay, we're okay. Okay, I sound a little loud to myself, but that's okay. David is the human pen of this psalm. It is a prayer that he made to God. And it has been recorded to teach us and help us learn, I believe, to better pray to our God. Now, you remember the disciples, they came to Jesus when he was on earth here ministering there in the middle in Israel and Jerusalem and so forth. And they said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, they had heard Jesus preach, they'd heard Jesus teach, they had seen Jesus work miracles, but the thing they wanted him to teach them was to pray, because they'd seen him pray. But they didn't stop there. Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So that's a reference to John the Baptist, who also taught his followers about this matter of praying. And can I say, folks, no matter how long you've been saved, whether it's just a few weeks, a couple of years, or been saved for years and years and decades, we should all of us possess the desire to learn more about prayer. All of us. And my hope is that we can all learn something that will help us in our praying, whether it be in private or whether it be in public or church prayer or family prayer or whatever. Now, look at verse number 1. Look what David said. He said, "Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee." So David begins this prayer by requesting something from God that is crucial to his praying. I see it there in the middle of the verse toward the end where he said, "Give ear unto my voice." Question for you. Have you ever been speaking to someone, but you kind of get the idea that they're not really listening to what you're saying? And all the wives answer, "Yes, I'm married." Amen. Yes, I'm married. Okay. And it kind of seems to run in the DNA of men, doesn't it? All right. But sometimes you get that feeling when you're talking to your teenager at home, too. Okay. And you're laying it all out and you get the idea they're not listening. All right. Look, I've said before, you walk through an airport and there's all kinds of noise in an airport. You're walking through the terminal on the way to your gate and you're hearing the buzz of people talking as they wait to fly out or as they're coming in off the planes. You hear the people at the gate who are making announcements about that particular flight. And then there's the airport PA that goes over the entire airport and they're making announcements about, you know, the services that will be held for such and such. And I remember when Curtis Hudson went to heaven and they had his funeral down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I arranged to go with Brother Gomez. We were going to go down together. We flew out of O'Hare down to Nashville, I believe it was, and then drove down to Murfreesboro. He got to the airport before me. I didn't know that. And I'm not sure those were even the days of cell phones. Might have been, but I don't remember for sure. And so I was buzzing through the airport. You know, you hear all this noise, and all of a sudden I hear, "Terry Angel, please meet your party at gate such and such." And I knew who it was. But I will tell you, when, in spite of all that noise that was going on, when my name came across that PA system, all of a sudden I'm giving ear to what's being said. I'm not giving ear to all the buzz of people talking. I'm not giving ear to the agent who's making an announcement about a flight that I'm not taking. I'm not giving ear to the, you know, telling that the chaplain of the airport is going to have an ecumenical service for everybody, etc. I'm not giving ear to any of that. But when that PA system, when the voice on that PA system called my name, all of a sudden I'm giving ear to that. And folks, when it comes to praying, I think most of us want and need God to give ear to what we are saying. So David begins here by asking God, "God, would you please give ear to me?" I wonder sometimes if our prayers are just noise. They come out of ritual. They come out of ceremony. There's no sincerity. There's no faith. There's no heart. There's no purpose. There's repeating of rote words. Even when you and I take a moment to bow to thank God for our food, I wonder sometimes if it's just noise to God. "Lord, thank you for this food, Jesus." There's nothing there. The people, what we need. You know what David is doing here? David is seeking an audience with God. That's what he's doing. He's seeking an audience with God. The God who sits on the throne of the entire universe, heaven and earth. The God who sits above all else, the high and lifted up. "God, I need you to give ear to me." And aren't you glad that the Bible says, "He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear?" What's that mean? The ones who made the ear certainly listens. And aren't you glad also that we can say that kind of prayer from Bourbonnais, Illinois? And somebody in Brazil can say that prayer. And God's able to hear both voices and multiplied millions of voices of people that are calling out to Him. He's seeking an audience with God. And there's some fervency here. There's some sincerity here because He says twice in the verse, "I cry unto thee." I cry unto thee. He's got to get a hold of God. He's serious about this thing. He needs an audience with God. So how does this happen? How can we pray in such a way to have an audience with God? Well, look at verse number 2. He goes on here. He says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." So David desires to pray. He desires this audience with God, and he desires to pray in such a way that God gives ear to him. And so he says, "I'm going to set forth my prayer as incense. I'm going to make my prayer like incense." Now, people, incense is used in the Bible as symbolic of prayer. And when you study incense, you see how it was used, you see some resemblances between it, how it was used, and how our prayer can be set forth before God so that we have an audience with Him. And who in this room doesn't need that? We all do. We all need an audience with God. So let me make some points this morning. I don't know if I'll finish this. Save some of it for next Sunday. You know, I guess sermons are like bologna. You can just cut them off wherever you end, okay, and pick it up next time. And I appreciate you not agreeing with that, but you know what I'm saying. All right. Yeah, that's how I felt about your preaching. Bologna, you know. Okay, what can we learn here? Number one, incense was placed on coals of fire taken from the altar. Incense was placed on coals of fire taken from the altar. For sake of time, let me give you the verse. It's in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 13. Listen to what it says. "And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord." Now, what's it talking about? What that verse is talking about is when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, to the mercy seat where the Ark of the Covenant was, to apply the blood, the shed blood of the sin offering. And when he went in the Holy of Holies with that shed blood, he also went in there with some kind of instrument called a censer. I'm not sure if it had a big bowl at the end of it or if it was kind of a wire basket. But what that censer held as he went in there, he would take some of the coals off the fire that was burning on the brazen altar where the sin offering had been made. He would take those coals of fire into the holy, and he would put incense on those coals of fire as he went into the Holy of Holies. Now, what this means simply is this. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies with that incense, and what that teaches us is that the prayer that has purpose with it and comes from a sincere heart that wants to get an audience with God is prayer that has first dealt with sin. Prayer that has first dealt with sin. Okay, because he's taking, and by the way, in a couple of ways this morning, let me say, prayer that gets the ear of God. I'm sorry, my mind is thinking about something else. Help me, Lord, to get my mind concentrated on the message here. Prayer that gets God's ear comes from someone who has dealt with the sin in their heart. First of all, that means prayer that gets the attention of God comes from the heart of someone who has been saved. Been saved. Has trusted in the sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for their salvation. Listen, people, look, you follow the news and, you know, a celebrity dies or some big tragic event happens and here's the person on the news and they're making a comment like, you know, "People, please keep these folks in your prayers. We want to encourage everybody to say a prayer for this family and their situation." Look, I'm not doubting the person's sincerity. I'm not saying that it's not well-meaning. But listen, God rarely gives ear to the prayer of people who are not saved. Now, I can't take the Bible and say God never does. But that's a rare thing. Most often, from the heart of a person that needs to be saved, the prayer that God gives an ear to is, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, when that prayer comes from the heart of somebody who's trusting in what Christ did, on the cross of Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection, which is the power of God unto salvation. When prayer comes from the heart of someone who is seeking to that reconciliation that comes through Jesus Christ. I mean, brother, like that fellow that wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He cast his eyes down. He beat on himself and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said that man went down to his house justified. Went down to his house saved. Now, I don't know everybody sitting in the room this morning. We got guests from out of town. We've got guests from in town. We've got members that come here. I don't know the spiritual condition of every person in this room. But it could be that somebody in this room is unsaved. You've never been born into God's family. You might have been going to church all your life. You might have been baptized two or three times. But you've never been saved. And you want God to hear you when you pray. God's going to hear this prayer. Oh God, please be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. Because prayer that gets the attention of God, prayer that has an audience with God, comes from a heart that has dealt with sin. But now, wait a minute. I would guess that the vast majority of people in this room are saved. So what about those of us who are saved? Prayer that has an audience with God, that gets the attention of God, comes from a heart that has first dealt with sin. See, even after we're saved, the psalmist said in Psalm 66, verse number 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. They say, well, wait a minute, man. If I have iniquity in my heart, God won't hear me. When will God ever hear me? Because I'm still a sinner. I still sin after I got saved. I have a sin nature. How's that happen? Listen, it didn't say if I have iniquity in my heart. It said if I regard iniquity. Regard is esteem or practice. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever stop somewhere to pray, and in the initial moments of praying, all of a sudden your mind was directed to something that you had done, said, acted, seen, and some sin? I mean, right at the very beginning. Now, that wasn't on your mind when you went to... Okay, how many of you parents have ever found out that one of your children did something wrong, school, somewhere else, and they did something wrong, and so, you know, you're going to deal with it. When you get some time with them, you're going to take care of it. Before you have time to sit down with them and deal with it, they come to you with a request. Hey, Dad, can I ask you something? I was wondering if I could do... And you say to them, ho, before you ask me something, we got to have a talk. You ever done that? I've done that. Okay? So before you ask me for anything that you want, we got to have a discussion here. Well, folks, do you think God would be any different as a heavenly father than an earthly dad would be to his children? Sometimes when we kneel to pray, we're not thinking of anything that's in our heart. What we're thinking about is what we need and what we want, and we start to pray, and the Spirit of God says, whoop, before we get to this business of asking God for something, let's take care of this, because the prayer that gets an audience with God comes from incense that's been put on the fire from the altar. That's a picture of having our heart cleaned, having our heart washed, having our heart purified. That's what that's a picture of. So if you're not saved and you want God to hear your prayer, then you need to, first of all, deal with the fact that you are a sinner before God, and you need to come to Christ and be saved. And if you are saved and you want your prayer to have an audience with God, you want God to give ear to your prayer, then first deal with the sin. You know, that fire came, the coals in that censer came from off the altar of sacrifice. That's where the burnt offering and the sin offering was placed. In this particular chapter, you got the one goat and you got the scapegoat, and that the goat's blood and body was put on that altar, and it was an altar, it was a sacrifice for sin and a burnt sacrifice. And the coals came from off that altar, and the incense was put on those coals. Let me show you something here. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. Here's something, I'll show you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. I'm excited. I'm too excited. I got to settle down. I'm 100 miles an hour. I got to slow down. But I'm excited about it. Because I believe it'll help us. Man, when Ben was here with the kids, they had our house after supper, after church one Sunday night for a snack. And then I said, Papa, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. She said, can we sit down together? So we sat down. Now, Papa, sometimes when I pray, I got the... She went on for 4 or 5. I said, Nellie, whoa, stop. So, slow down, Pastor Angel. Nobody's leaving yet. All right, so look at Isaiah chapter 6. Look at verse number 5, okay? Now, you know the story here. King Uzziah has died, and Isaiah has seen the Lord sitting upon his throne. And look what he says in verse number 5. Then said I, he's seen all this. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Do you see what happened first as Isaiah began praying? He dealt with his sin. You want to get an audience with God? You want God to give ear to your voice? Do I need that? Do I want that? Man, I absolutely need it, and I want that. Then you know what? You better take your prayer and make sure it's sprinkled on the coals that came off the altar where the sacrifice for sin was made. You know what John Rice used to say? He used to say, keep short accounts with God. That means as you go throughout the day, as something you've thought or said or seen or behavior, and the Spirit of God goes, uh-uh. Immediately. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Be clean. Be washed. Prayer that gets the attention of God is prayer that first deals with our sin. Okay? And so David's, back to Psalm chapter 141, back to our text, Psalm 141. So David is saying here, okay, Lord, I need your ear, and I want to set forth my prayer before you as incense. Incense was placed on coals of fire taken from the altar. Now let me say number two this morning. That incense was beaten and pounded before it was used. It was beaten and pounded before it was used. Exodus chapter 30, we won't turn there for sake of time, describes the making of incense. And God told Moses, you take this spice and this spice and this spice and this spice and this spice, and you put all those spices together. Ladies, you get the idea of like a recipe for some dish you're making at home. All right? He said, take all these spices, and you're going to make this, you're going to make it together for a certain concoction. And then he said, you take some of that, those spices, and you beat it very small. You beat it and 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 beat it. And Leviticus chapter 16, verse 12 says, the high priest used incense that was beaten small. Beaten and pounded. You know what the lesson here is, folks? Prayer that God gives an ear to often comes from a broken, wounded, contrite heart. Prayer that God gives ear to. What is it about our God that He is drawn to that kind of? But He is. In Psalm 51, verse number 17, David is praying that prayer of confession before God for the adultery and the murder that he had committed. And he says in that chapter, the sacrifices of God. What's he talking about? Sacrifices that God will accept are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Heavenly Father, please help me today. I need Your help with this. I need Your help. I sure got to have a big decision at work. God, please do this. Lord, take care of my wife. Take care of my husband. Lord, take care of our kids now. And God, thank You for the day. Lord, help me drive safe. In Jesus' name, amen. God, here's noise. But then here's a sincere heart. Here's a broken heart. O God, I need You today. The heart that's pounded. The heart that's beaten. The spirit that's pounded. The spirit that's beaten. No matter, folks, what the cause of the brokenness may be. Broken by sin, broken by the sin of others, broken by circumstances, broken by death, broken by sickness, broken by loneliness, broken by the ugliness of others, broken by consequences that were beyond our control. It matters not. Brokenness gets God's attention. And that's been the theme of some messages here in the last couple of months. I was so, you know, thrilled for Jamie and Keith as they're about to wrap up their deputation. Today, Isaiah and Cherith begin. Have their first meeting today up in Crystal Lake with Brother Houston. And that's a blessing because Isaiah, as a teenage boy, went with his brother Caleb and knocked doors and distributed flyers up there for the starting of that church when Caleb was here. And several of you did. Several of us did. And so there, he's having Isaiah and Cherith today. And they've been all excited. Isaiah's got four more days of work this week. And then next Sunday, I think they're out in Ohio. And then they're in Iowa. And then they're in Minnesota. And it's starting. How long have you been on the trail, brother? Almost 2 years. Mom's having a hard time with this one. I don't mean my mom. I mean Cherith's mom. She's having a hard time with this one. And we prayed last night and her heart was broken. And we prayed this morning and her heart was broken. But honey, I want to tell you something. A broken heart gets an audience with God. I asked her this morning, I said, what's different about this one? You know, it's just your last, the youngest girl, the last child. What's the big deal, you know? I don't remember you crying when Ben went to Madagascar. You're all over yourself about this. No, I was just joking. I get it. You know, you the father of a missionary son and the father of a missionary daughter, Brother Keith, it's a little different. It's a little different. You know, Ben, hey, buddy, hope you make it. Tough it out. Isaiah, you better make it. I'm serious. I'm serious as a heart attack. I'll fly down there for a brain, bring her home. I won't do that. But I'm not kidding. It's a different dynamic. It's a different dynamic. And, you know, I get it. This is her mother. Her mother's had that girl at home by herself, alone for how many years? But people, brokenness gets God's attention. It gets God's contrite. Listen, means worn and bruised. Prayer that comes from a broken and bruised heart is prayer that gets the ear of God. And parents, you know, sometimes we got to take our hands off and let our kids go through brokenness. You know, I asked Brother Keith to come up here and pray this morning. Keith Putnam standing here was a different Keith Putnam than he was 2 years ago. Deputation has grown him. And I imagine, who knows how many times, Brother Keith, in the process of deputation, you've had to cry out to God from a broken spirit, a discouraged heart. A discouraged heart. You drove how many miles and hours to go to a church and they forgot you were coming. Oh, yeah. What is your name? How would you feel? You invited me to come. I'm Keith Putnam. Oh, yeah. Sure, I remember. Mm-hmm, right. Yeah. You got to have your kids go through things that break them. We want to keep our kids from everything difficult. Keep our kids from everything hard. But that's not good. And when kids go through things, I'm talking about adult kids. When kids, adult kids go through things, and it bruises and batters and wounds them, you know what they're going to find out? When they kneel to pray, they got an audience with God. That incense was beaten small. I just talked about Isaiah's prayer in Isaiah chapter 6. When did that prayer come? In the year King Uzziah died. And his heart is broken. God gives ear to the heart. There's no better time to pray. Listen. Difficult circumstances are either going to make us bitter or better. And what happens is some people hit difficult circumstances and they get mad at God. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to ignore you. Oh, you don't say that. But you're too mad to pray. You're too angry to pray. But there is no more important time to pray than when your heart is broken, and then God can give ear to your prayer and turn that into a better situation somehow. You know, I love it when we say, "Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Put it on Facebook. Put it on Facebook. Are you grieving over joys departed? Put it on Facebook today. See how many like it. How many thumbs up you will get. Then you can talk about how wonderful it is." Now, that's kind of silly. But let's be honest. I'm not making fun of your broken heart. What you need to do, take it here. Are you weak and heavy, laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Instagram. Still our refuge. I don't think so. Precious Savior. Still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Prayer that gets the attention of God. This incense. David said, "I want to set forth my prayer as incense." And prayer that gets the attention of God first deals with the sin of our heart. Prayer that gets the attention of God comes from a broken or wounded heart. Let me give you the last two and I'm done. We'll pray. Incense naturally ascended upwards toward heaven. Now look at me. For sake of time, the incense is on the coals. The incense is burning from the coals, on the coals from the fire of the altar. And what direction is that smoke going? You know what gets an audience with God? Prayer that recognizes that what I need can't come from anyone or anywhere on this plane. What I need comes this way. Be careful that when we pray, our mind does not wander thinking on things that are horizontal. You ever been there? You're saying words, but they're not engaged with your heart. You're thinking about going to work, and you're thinking about this, and thinking about, man, I got to make sure I got enough money to make that payment. And you're thinking about all these horizontal issues, all the while saying these words that are just noise to God. Folks, do what you've got to do to make sure that your mind and heart are engaged this direction. Now, some mornings, I can bury my face in the cushion of my couch or my recliner and be alert and engaged in prayer. And then some mornings I can't. So some mornings I stand like this. So what do you look up for? Well, David said, "In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Because God, I want you to know that I understand my help is not coming from this plane. My help's coming from you. You know what? We'll pick it up next week. It's time to pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us to set forth our prayer as incense. Oh God, we need an audience with you. We need you to hear us when we pray. Oh God, please. Oh, hear us. Give ear to our prayers. I pray that you'll encourage the hearts of your people this morning. God, please. Speak to us, even now in this quiet moment, while our hearts are waiting before you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If the Lord spoke to your heart, the altar is open. It's already being used. You just get up out of your seat and come if you want to pray this morning. You obey the Lord. You do as God wants you to do. God speak to you. Prayer that gets the attention of God first deals with the sin of our heart. Prayer that gets the attention of God often comes from a broken and a contrite heart, a wounded heart, a hurt heart. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Would you just raise your hand in the air if you're not sure that you're saved? If you're not sure that you're saved, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, can I pray for you this morning? I see a hand. God bless you, ma'am. Is there someone else? I'm not sure I'm saved, Pastor Angel. Let me ask you a question. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If I could have the attention of the one that just raised your hand, you're not sure you're saved. Would you look at me just for a moment, ma'am? You raised your hand there. If you'd like to know how to be saved, you turn to that person on the other side of you, and they can find somebody to help you show you how to be saved this morning. You come tell this man right down here, I'm not sure I'm saved. And they'll have somebody show you how to be saved. If you're here today, you've been saved and not baptized. You ought to obey the Lord. But look, folks, let's set forth our prayer as incense. Let's be sincere about it so that God will give ear to our prayer. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're having a song of invitation as they play this morning. You obey the Lord. If you'd like to come to this morning and be saved, now's the time. Would you come? While we wait. Oh God, please give audience to my prayer. Please give your ear to my prayer. I sure need you to hear me. Let's deal with the sin in our heart first. And when you're broken and wounded, there's no better time to pray. Have you obeyed the Lord this morning? That's the thing. We sang that song. They're playing it now. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Let God encourage you this morning about your prayer life. Prayer as an individual with your family. Here at church tonight, 5:45, Wednesday night. Let's pray a
prayer set forth as incense. Father, we love You. We thank You for meeting with us this morning and helping us. And I pray, O God, that You please speak to our hearts in such a way that we won't forget this. Be mindful to use it on a daily basis. Lord, I pray for one that raised their hand about salvation, if they didn't understand the question or if they aren't saved. I pray that You'll draw that heart to Christ, please. And we'll thank You for it. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.